Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Chwaba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who doesn't have 20/20 vision, even in hindsight, Pete Chwaba.
Hey, Wisconsin! Welcome to Nightlight. Great to be back with you again here in the studio tonight. I was on vacation last week. This is my first show, and I have forgotten how to do everything. So bear with me. But great to have you with me on this Monday night, wherever you're joining us from in Wisconsin, all over our wonderful state. If you are not listening to political coverage, the fantastic political coverage that Civic Media provides here covering the DNC this week, I'm glad you're joining us on the stream, because that's where you can find us Monday through Thursday. From 7 to 9, we'll be available on Facebook, X, and YouTube. So you can watch the radio on your favorite platform, and we will be here doing our show like we do every night. Our show called Nightlight. So I hope I missed all of you. I missed talking about these things because I love talking movies and TV, and I did a little bit of that on my vacation because my family can't get enough of that either, which is fun. And I don't know if it's like this with you guys, but I find it interesting that families, like in my family, like my mom and dad's family, I should say, like politically, we all pretty much are on the same page, yet we find things to argue about at the dinner table. Is that what it's like in your house? Because with my family, it's the same way with my kids. Like we all kind of like the same stuff, but we still find things to argue about. That's what makes it so fun, I think, just talking about, you know, what we've seen, what we're watching, it's all just so much fun. So we will continue to do that this week on the stream, Monday through Thursday. Conrad, can you tell people how they can watch on the stream, just in case they don't want to be inundated with political coverage? Because you can watch the DNC all week. It should be fun. Civic Media, I'm sure, is going to crush the coverage. But if you want to keep it light, love to have you.
Yeah. So, yeah, we're under Nightlight with Pete Chwaba on Facebook or WGBW. And then on YouTube, WGBW or Civic Media. And on X, we are Civic Media.
Fantastic. We got to change the question, Conrad. I don't want to use the question we're using. So okay. I'm giving you homework. You have 2 minutes to come up with a question for tonight. I think this will be, if it's like speed dating for questions.
Yeah.
So in the meantime, I'm gonna read this. Let's do this. The best thing you've seen all summer. The summer box office is winding down. Alien and Romulus crushed this past weekend. I thought we were kind of done. I didn't think another Alien would open the way it did. But it did. And I have not seen it yet. Why don't we do that? What's the best movie you've seen all summer? That's our question. You take a memo, Conrad?
It's already up on the stream.
It's on the stream. What is the best movie you've seen this summer? And it could be something from the theaters. It could be something that you streamed, an old classic. I watched Terminator 2 the other night, which I hadn't seen in years, but it's so strange. It's like an algorithm took over. And friends of mine, I would say two or three people on Facebook in the last 3 weeks have said they forgot what a great movie Terminator 2 is. That sounds like a marketing company reaching out to people to put that out there to rediscover the film. And that may have happened. But these friends of mine are like in the movie industry. So I don't know why they would do that. It could be coincidence. Maybe one saw the other one post it. But I got sucked in. I watched Terminator 2 on Saturday night. A movie I'd seen a couple times, not for 25 years maybe. And it delivered. It holds up. Have you seen the film, Conrad?
I feel like I should be ashamed that I've never seen any of them.
Any of the Terminators?
Yeah, I've never seen them.
I would start. You really only need to see one and two. One is great because it was so different and new and weird and scary. And the second one is like that. I hate to use this cliche on steroids. And it's really, the production value is more well done too. It's great. So that's our question tonight. What is the best movie you've seen this summer? I'm probably going to say Inside Out 2 or Furiosa.
I'm going to have to go with Deadpool.
Deadpool? I see. I haven't seen it yet. So you got some great ones to choose from. I'll tell you what, the summer box office kind of limped out of the gate, but boy, has it crushed. I would say the last 6 to 7 weeks, there's been like no let up since Inside Out 2. And that was a great film. And I also loved Furiosa. Those would be my two. So, but I want to hear from you. Let us know on the stream if you're watching. Let us know what the best movie you saw this summer is. That's our question tonight here at Nightlight. I saw this great Onion headline. And it's a picture of Glenn Powell talking to a microphone. And it says, Glenn Powell opens up about dangerous stunt work filming with Sydney Sweeney's breasts. They just always crush the picture they got. Our picture of her in a bikini, and then he's like talking into the mic. It's just so great. The Onion always delivers. Hey, we got a great show tonight. It is great to be back. Tonight at 7:35, our old pal Rob Thomas, not old, middle-aged, I would say. Rob will be here at 7:35. We'll talk about what he's watching, a couple of his articles. Got a lot of questions for Rob, and he will keep us informed. We're going to talk a little bit about Phil Donahue, who passed away on Sunday at 88. I have to say I am embarrassed about this because I was a Donahue fan. I thought Phil Donahue was already dead. And it's kind of a joke people make. Oh, when George Burns died, he's like 104. Oh, I thought he already died. I really did think Phil Donahue had already passed away because I've been seeing Marlo Thomas, on TV periodically. And I was like, oh, she was married to Phil Donahue. He passed away, but he didn't. Crazy. So we'll talk about that a little bit with Rob and what he's watching. And then at 8:20 tonight, Bill Leff is here, my old comedy pal. Bill is the host of Tune In With Me on the MeTV network. A great show. They're about to start their fifth season. He is also on the show Svengoolie. So if you love a nationally syndicated show in the morning that you can watch with your kids, that is a great show, ladies and gentlemen. Eat some cereal. They play some Bugs Bunny cartoons. Bill is the host. He ties it all together, does a great job. He'll be here at 8:20. And last time he was here, Conrad, he said you tried to kill him. That was interesting.
I don't know if I did that.
Yeah. He said you said you were going to sneak into the room when he was sleeping and kill him. I thought that was a pretty brassy accusation. You probably got a lawsuit there because I'm on your side with that. I don't think you would do so.
Oh, okay.
I'm not saying you don't want to. Thanks, Pete. Yeah, but I think you're smarter than that. So I am back from vacation. I had a great time. We went to a wedding. Well, first, last Sunday, we had a big party where I live in Marinette on Saturday night. That was fun with some of our neighbors. Got in the car. How long do you think it takes to drive to Chicago, Conrad?
I'm going to guess 3 hours, maybe even more because of traffic.
That's a pretty good guess. Chicago should take about 4 hours.
Okay.
Maybe more if you hit traffic once you hit the city, but you should hit city limits by easily 4 hours. We left at 9 a.m. and got to our hotel at 5 p.m. We stopped. We picked up my son in Milwaukee. Then we hit air and water show traffic in Chicago. And I will say this, ladies and gentlemen, when traffic is bad in Chicago, at least in my experience, there is no more horrible traffic. I lived in LA for 14 years. The traffic there is heavy, but it moves. You can get caught in bumper to bumper, but Chicago is the worst. We hit city limits after getting Superdog, which if you're listening in the Chicago area, you have to check out Superdog. It's a great kind of a drive-up place, old school, great stuff. But it took forever to get to our hotel. And we stayed in a hotel. I stayed there last summer. I won't name it, but it's right at the border of Lincoln Park in Chicago in Old Town, right by Second City. And we had Second City tickets for Sunday night. And this hotel, you ever get this? I go to check in. It's 4:30, almost 5 by the time we got there. I'm sorry, sir. Your room is not quite ready yet. We were full last night. Okay. Even if you're full, I expect the room to be ready by 3 o'clock.
Yeah.
Plan for this. This is what you do. They 2 hours. And then, whatever. The room wasn't ready. Last year when we stayed there, they made mistake after mistake. But the location, we had a lake view. The location is so great. You can walk to Second City. It's great. So I got sucked in and I booked the same damn hotel again. And the same shenanigans happen. I'm talking like Joe Biden now. Joe Biden. It's a bunch of malarkey. Same thing. And there was no, you know, there was a couch bed that was my daughter was going to sleep on. No sheets, no blankets. I have to call at 11. Sir, you're going to have to come down and get it. We're very busy. Oh, I'm sorry. Am I paying $400 a night because I'm a guest in your house? Get off your ass and bring me some blankets and bed. Like, they know how many people are staying in the room. So, okay. So that's my Chicago experience. You know what? I gave him a 1-star review. I'd probably book it again. Like, I love the location that much. Then we went to Kalamazoo for a wedding, a Monday wedding, if you can believe that. And I stayed in a hotel there. What do you do? Maybe this should have been our question tonight. What do you do when you see a little tiny hair in your hotel bed? Do you think maybe somehow it piggybacked on the room keeper or whatever and went through the wash and is still on the sheet?
Yeah, I don't know.
It freaked me out. But you know what? I was exhausted. I was going to call the desk at midnight when we got back from the wedding, whatever. So, and then, you know, we went up to Door County and we were there for a few nights and it was beautiful. If you have not been to Door County, I know this is Wisconsin. Everybody knows Door County, but I'm surprised at how many people we've had on the show that haven't been there. It is stunning. And we had another Lakeview, gorgeous, didn't break the bank. It was pretty affordable for 4 days. It was great. And that's where you relax when you got nothing to do. I'm sure it was pretty relaxed around here last week, Conrad.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
Did you wear pants all week? Be honest.
Yes, I did wear pants.
All right, well done. We have a couple of people checking in on the stream. Jim Denny says, welcome back, Pete. I hope you had a restful vacation. I did, Jim. It was great. I actually, it was nice to have a break from the show, but I missed doing the show, if that makes sense. But thank you for your wishes. Rob Lehman says, the new Twister movie, I want to see. I heard good reviews. Rob, I saw it. I liked it. I thought it was pretty good. So when you do see it, let us know what you think. I would love to hear that as well. And then Jim says, well, right now you're on the Civic Media app. No political talk. Yay, Jim and Appleton. Oh, that's Jim and Appleton. I didn't know your last name, Jim. All right. I have a really cool thing I'm going to play for you guys when we come back. I just heard it this morning, and I can't wait to share it. It's going to lift your spirits. This is Pete Schwab and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. And it comes as no surprise to me with another guy. Here comes my baby. Here she comes now. So I will say the best thing. Conrad, you just took a long vacation.
Yeah.
You were realistically, I mean, you've been on vacation more than you've actually been in the studio since the show started. That was a long vacation. What was your favorite part about the whole thing? I'm sure I asked you this, but I want to contrast it to what I'm about to say.
I got to say it was just, you know, getting time to spend with my family and, you know, see them after I haven't seen them in a while.
I was just going to say the same thing. Like, as much as you see cool stuff, the best part, like, we rented one of those, you know, it's like a 3-bedroom condo. They have these great places to stay in Door County. It was just so much fun to be in the same space with my kids and my wife and not have to go anywhere, not have to do anything. We played Monopoly one night and just ended up laughing our butts off. Those are the kind of things that make vacation worth it. So fun. Okay, so I saw this thing today on Facebook. A woman who I'm not friends with posted it, and one of my friends shared it. I don't even know if I'm saying his name right. Neil Ford. It's F-O-A-R-D. And this is a little long. It's almost 3 minutes long, but he tells this story, and I know we are in very polarized times right now. There's Democrats, Republicans, whatever Kennedy's doing, or whatever that faction of whatever it is. We are very divided as a country, and we think, oh, this is terrible. This country is never going to be the same again, blah, blah, blah. I saw this today, and it really just kind of lifted my spirits, and it made me look around myself and say, yes, I know people who disagree with me politically. I still help them throw stuff in the back of their pickup. They've still plowed my driveway, whatever. We are still human beings that care about other human beings. Take the labels off, you know, and just have a discussion. But this was great. This is a story. I'm going to let this guy tell it. He's kind of a speaker. He's a storyteller, and he does seminars on storytelling, and he's got a great YouTube channel. I just found out about him today. So this is a story by Neil Ford. Conrad, let's hear that.
People think we're more divided as a country now than we've been in a long time. I know it can seem that way, but when I was a little kid in 1969, the Vietnam War was tearing the country apart. And they'd shot John F. Kennedy, and they'd shot Bobby Kennedy. They'd shot Martin Luther King and Malcolm X. And there was the Manson family and the Zodiac Killer, and it just felt like the whole country lost its mind. My father, who'd grown up in the Depression, well, his faith in humanity was just at a low ebb. And the two of us that June were driving from L.A. to Oakland in our old 1960 Oldsmobile, and the water pump blew out south of Bakersfield. And so this was long before cell phones, so we were going to have to hoof it like 9 or 10 miles into town when this young cowboy pulls up in a flatbed and offers to tow us in. And all my dad had on him for money was this old Chevron gas card, so he kept telling this young fellow, you know, I can't pay you. And the young cowboy's looking at him like, yeah, I wasn't going to charge you. So he rolls us into town, and this is a Sunday, so nothing's open. So he has to go get his mechanic friend to open up his garage, and my dad says, hey, listen, I don't have any money. And the mechanic says, you know, we'll work something out. And then they all realize they don't have the actual part, so now they got to go roust out the local auto parts store owner, and they bring him down. And my father's like, okay, we need to talk about how this is all going to get settled, because he just couldn't imagine anybody being this trusting about the money. So the cowboy says, look, if it'd make you feel better, I got a bunch of watermelons I need to get loaded onto my flatbed, and it's pretty hot work, and if you help me out, I'll pay for the part. So next thing you know, we're all unloading watermelons from inside a rail car. That's about 140 degrees. And 90 minutes later, we are soaked in sweat. And up rolls the car, just run like a top. And my dad says, I really don't know how to thank you fellas for this good turn. And we're turning to go, and the mechanic gets this look on his face and says, whoa, where do you think you're going? And you could see on my father's face just all the fear and distrust come to the surface. And he's stiffened like a leopard. And the mechanic says, no. My wife's going to make us all Sunday dinner, and you and the boy can get a shower and a clean shirt, and it'll make the drive easier for all of us. So we sat down for a dinner of fried chicken from the chicken right over there and corn on the cob from the corn right over there. Man, I got to tell you, we'll never have a meal that good ever again. And my dad didn't say maybe three words the whole drive, but when we got home, I got into bed, and I was just about to turn off a light, and he stops in the doorway, and he says to me, no matter what you see in the movies or on TV or you read in the papers, you listen to me. That's how people really are. And about a month later, Neil Armstrong walked on the moon. So keep the faith.
I don't know how much more simple that message could be. And the guy's a great storyteller. But man, that just lifted my spirits. I was like still laying in bed when I saw that. Because like most Americans, I roll over, grab my phone off the nightstand and look at Facebook before I even take a breath. And I found that story. I thought it was just a great way to start your day. Did you like that, Conrad?
Yeah, I did. Yeah, definitely.
That's where you should have said, nah, that guy's kind of a jerk, Pete.
Nah, that guy sucks.
Him his hoity-toity dad and his little adventure. But Neil Ford, F-O-A-R-D, I think I'm saying the last name right. It was very interesting. So what else do we have? Hawk Tua has been in the news again too, Conrad.
Of course. Yeah, of course.
She got Hawk booed. She threw out the first pitch and they booed her. And she said, well, I was there raising money for veterans. Like, I almost feel like that's gratuitous. Like that's. Okay, that's a nice thing to do, but what are you expecting when you go out there? And again, these people that are managing her, put her in good, you know she's going to take some guff for going out there.
Yeah.
By the way, the pitch she threw was 84 miles an hour, which I thought was pretty impressive.
Send her to the league.
She really hawked into that. Anyway, I thought that was kind of funny. And we are working on, before I went on vacation, we talked about getting a membership to her fan club. We are going to do that. We're going to follow her. We're going to try to get her on Nightlight. And I know nobody here will boo her because our listeners are too classy for that. Speaking of classy listeners, Sherry just checked in. She said, welcome back, Pete. And hi, Conrad. Hi, Sherry. It's good to be back with you. And thank you for joining us here in the stream. Although we're on the app right now, is it?
Yep, we're on the app right now.
So what's the deal? The political coverage is only on the radio?
No, it's starting pretty soon.
Oh, it hasn't started yet. Oh, I got you. Did Biden's speech go long or something?
I don't know.
Well, tonight's all about Biden. It's a convention. That's what I understand. Like, that's what they're doing tonight. So maybe they just got carried away. Maybe we'll get booted off the app soon. Either way, however you're joining us, thank you. Bill Leff is here at 820. Bill is the host of Tune In With Me. A great show. And speaking of great ways to start your day, Bill, they show cartoons, Bugs Bunny cartoons, Looney Tunes, Foghorn Leghorn. It's the kind of show you can watch with your child while you're getting ready in the morning. And I just think it's a brilliant idea. They're about to start their fifth season. Bill is the host and a very funny guy, and also had done a fair amount of radio as well. And Rob Thomas, ladies and gentlemen, not that Rob Thomas, our Rob Thomas, is coming up next at 7:35 here on Nightlight. Great to be back in this chair. We got, Sarah Jean checks in. She says, I just rewatched Chicago the Musical with Richard Gere. So good. That's a great answer too, Sarah. It doesn't have to be a movie that's current. What's the best movie you saw all summer? Let us know. Rob Thomas coming up next. It's Nightlight with Pete Schwabe on the Civic Media Radio Network. Jim from Appleton says, I watched Everything Everywhere all at once before it disappeared from Netflix. Incredible movie. Yeah, I have not seen that. That was one of the few I didn't see the previous year for the Oscars. But I think that won like one or two, not Best Picture, but that's been on my list too. And I kind of forgot about it. So thank you, Jim. That's some good suggestions so far. You said you saw something, Conrad. Let's talk about that with Rob. Let's see what Rob, let's see what's on Rob's mind. This is, I told Rob before when I booked him, I said, you're the perfect guest for when I come back from vacation because I'm going to forget and I will have forgotten everything. And it'll be good to have Rob ease us back onto the air. Rob, how you doing?
I'm good. So I'm kind of like the airlock that you enter into, come back into the job. And
okay. Right.
For slowly decompress.
For yeah, alien for, Romulus. Yeah. Yeah. You've read his work, I hope, anyway, at the Capital Times or on his Substack, Not That Rob Thomas. Check out his work. He does great stuff, and he is here tonight on Nightlight. Rob, how have you been? Have you had a good summer?
It's been a great summer. Yeah. It's the weather the last month or so has been really nice, like, which is the reverse of what I expected in Wisconsin summer.
Right.
And was out at APT, American Players Theater, a couple times. I feel like the movie season kind of kicked in the latter half after some disappointments.
Yeah.
And it's a great summer. I'll be sorry to see it go.
Yeah. Same here. I kind of feel the same way about, I kind of feel like the box office has paralleled my summer. It started off kind of like, I don't know, June gloom or whatever you call it. And then it just picked up and it's been crushing. Like the weather's been great. Like you said, the box office has gone gangbusters. I don't know where it is compared to last summer, the summer before or pre-COVID. But man, it has been strong, I would say, the last 6 or 7 weeks.
Yeah, just one after another. I feel like they always worry, like, oh, theatrical movies are over, and then like a Deadpool or an Inside Out 2.
Yeah.
Does, you know, bananas business, and then we're back at it. So
exactly.
We'll see. Yeah.
So what did I want? Oh, I read your article about Paula Poundstone. She's so funny. She's going to be in Madison soon at the Barrymore. I have an email into them. I would love to get her on the show or help them promote at least, because I think Paul is so great. Did you sit down with her? Was that over like a stream or the phone or email? How did that work?
That was over the phone. Okay. And she was, unfortunately, she was here last weekend, so you did mix her. But she comes through all the time. She's super busy. And like she was in her backyard doing some yard work in Santa Monica or something like that. And she's like one of those people who, like, it's not like you don't have to do anything, but like she's such a great conversationalist, like that, like, it's pretty easy to have a great interview with her. And we talked about, you know, she was an Inside Out 2 really quickly, and how she got that job, and just kind of doing her stand up, and how she just, you know, she said she's sort of like Buddy the Elf, where like she'll just talk to anybody, you know, she'll just walk up and talk to anybody. So that was a really fun interview.
I thought it was interesting when she told you in the interview that she's so into her audience, she doesn't want an opener. She's like Springsteen in two ways. She doesn't have an opener. It's just her. And then she does like a 2-hour show as a stand up. That's insane.
Right. Yeah. And you could give like 10 minutes to some local comedian, but that's her one thing, is like, no, these are my people. They come to see me. And I don't know. It is kind of funny, but you know, she's been at it for, I mean, at least 30 years, right? Maybe even into the 80s. So So she knows what she's doing. Yeah,
she does. And it's funny that when I saw her coming to the Barrymore, and I got turned around because of vacation, I reached out to them a couple weeks ago, actually. But I'm like, oh, Paula Poundstone, she's still touring. And then I did a Google thing. I'm like, oh, she was Inside Out. Oh, she has her own podcast. Oh, she's on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. Like, she's like crazy busy. I mean, yeah, like, there's so many ways for people like her to make money that you don't necessarily hear of, you know?
Right, right. Yeah. Especially if you're good, you get the gift of gab. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. During the interview, you said you interviewed her a long time ago. Did she seem different now, older and wiser, just as funny?
I would say exactly the same.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I would say I went back to that old interview and I mean, it was another great one. I remembered it really well. And,
that's so cool.
Yeah.
You had a review. I can't remember if I saw it in the Capital Times or if it was on your Substack, about Rob Peace, the movie. Chiwetel Ejiofor's second directorial effort. I didn't even know he had a first.
Neither.
Yeah, and it's kind of a story about weed bringing people together, which is nice.
Well,
tell me about the film.
Well, it's like this time of year, like there's a lot of like little movies just kind of showing up at the theaters for like a week or two and then kind of winking out. And then I guess they'll be on streaming. And this was one of them that just caught my attention because, now I can't remember how to pronounce his name, and you just did it. But,
because we had the same lawyer for a cup of coffee years ago. Chiwetel Ejiofor. He got his calls returned quicker than I did, just for the record.
Mr. Ejiofor, who people probably know from like 12 Years a Slave, and great, great actor.
Yeah.
And he co-wrote, starred, and has a supporting role in this fact-based movie about this kid growing up in a poor section of New Jersey, true story, goes to Yale, is studying molecular biology, also becomes a weed dealer in part to raise money to try and get his dad out of prison. His dad has been convicted of double murder and claims he's innocent. So it's this really interesting movie. It's kind of all these different sides to this young kid, or I mean young kid, he's like 20s, but like and how he's trying to keep them all juggled. It's and really well acted. So if it is a theater near you, it will probably not be for long. So if you want to see it on the big screen, now's the time to do it.
We don't get, where I live is just sort of more remote. Yeah. We don't get these kind of fun indie films or limited release films, but I loved what you wrote about it, and it made me want to see it. What the other one I wanted to ask you about, Rob, which also didn't quite get up north, is Sing Sing. I love Coleman Domingo. It's on my list to see. I liked him in Fear the Walking Dead. I don't know if you watched that spinoff.
I did not.
Yeah.
No.
I mean, it wasn't as good as the original. It had its moments, but he's so good in it. And he's such a good villain. And then you kind of like him. He's just a great actor.
He's one of those really watchable guys. And like, I've seen him as a villain. There's a Netflix movie last year. Well, he's nominated for an Oscar, I think. He played Weston, the civil rights leader. And he's just one of those guys who, like, you know, commands the screen, which is interesting because Sing Sing, which also did not come to Madison, which was weird because he's such a big actor, I think. Yeah. But it's about this theater troupe inside Sing Sing Correctional Maximum Security Prison. And I believe Coleman Domingo is the only professional actor in it, and all the other actors are, well, except maybe one, are former inmates who were in the program. And it follows them as they're staging this production, and there's like kind of a rivalry between Coleman Domingo's character and a new actor. It's really great. And that's one that's got to be on streaming pretty soon, I think, on VOD.
Honestly, I'm surprised it's not already. I looked it up before I knew you were going to be on, and you reviewed the film. And yeah, it's still hanging around in theaters, though. It's such a great story or premise, you know.
Right, right. And the fact that they got the real guys who went through the program and had their lives changed by doing this really makes it a very special. It was almost a documentary-like film in some ways because of that. Yeah. So that a lot of these I think will be on VOD in a month or two.
Some good fall viewing for those two nights a week that there isn't NFL football on.
That's right.
My guest is Rob Thomas. He's the entertainment reporter for the Capital Times, and you can check out his Substack, Not That Rob Thomas, where he writes about movies and TV and theater. And Rob, tell us about Daughters. You loved it, right?
Yeah, Netflix movie. Another prison movie, a documentary, and a real emotional roller coaster, but it's about another prison program. It's funny how parallels, but it's in the DC area where these inmates who are fathers get to have like a daddy daughter dance with their daughters.
Some of
whom they haven't seen in years, some of whom they've never really met. And there's different, you follow several different father-daughter pairings, and it's really, you know, a very emotional film, and these dads and sort of the choices they've made, and like, you know, they obviously really recommit to, you know, being better fathers, but then also you follow them a few years later, and you know, the results are more mixed, I think. So it's on Netflix now. I gotta think it's gonna be nominated for an Oscar. It's so good and really beautiful to watch too.
Yeah, that sounds really interesting. But going back to Sing Sing, it got a 98% on Rotten Tomatoes, by the way. That's pretty impressive, too.
How are you that 2% who don't like it? I don't know. There's always that 2%.
And really, it's probably two guys. There's probably 100 reviews on there.
Two guys, you're like,
two girls.
There's too much prison in this prison drama.
No, you know what I think could happen, Rob, is the two critics that didn't like it were actually in prison and didn't get cast in the prison show. So, all right. So let's jump into the big theaters. You saw Deadpool. I still haven't seen it. You're way ahead of me, by the way. I think last time we spoke, I was kind of ahead of you, and you have like really sprinted to the finish line here for the summer.
I've tried to keep up. Yeah.
What did you think of Deadpool and Wolverine?
I really liked it, and I was not sure I was going to, because I think we've talked about how Marvel really runs kind of hot and cold, especially lately. But I've liked the previous two Deadpool movies, and I've liked most of the Wolverine movies. And it's a really, like, very funny, very violent movie. Like, really, I mean, but in a very cartoonish way. Like, it's not upsetting at all. It's very cartoonish. And, you know, like, one fight scene is choreographed to NSYNC's Bye Bye Bye. It's that kind of level of violence. But also, it's kind of, like, kind of poignant in a way, like it's sort of, like it's it brings, you have to be kind of into the whole superhero movie lore, but like it brings back a lot of characters from like the 90s and early 2000s Marvel superheroes before the Disney ones started. And there is a sort of nostalgia for those characters. Like, well, I want to spoil it because the cameos are pretty great, just in case people don't know.
Yeah, I've heard.
Even though everybody in the world, yeah, and it's really well done. And so, even though those movies too, I was sort of like, some I like, some I didn't like. I like the X-Men movies pretty well. It was really kind of poignant and even sweet. And so, I don't know how it's gonna. I guess it's now going to be all under Disney's MCU. I don't know how it's all going to fit together, but I thought it was a really, really good movie. And I read Ryan Reynolds' big inspiration for it was Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
Seriously?
And yeah. And once you hear that, you watch it, you see all these references to it. Like, it's really funny.
Wow. That Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, to me, it's like one of my all-time favorites. It is basically a flawless movie.
Absolutely. I
mean, there's no fat in that movie. And it's like an hour and a half long, maybe an hour and 40. But that's really interesting.
Just the way the two characters are together. It's really kind of spun off that.
If people have, like, I haven't seen any of the Deadpools. I'm not a big superhero guy. If people still want to go see one of these blockbusters that's in the theater still, and they go to see this, would they be lost if they haven't seen the first two or one of the first two?
I don't think so. I mean, I don't think, you know, you don't need to see the second one. Like, you see some of the characters from the first ones in the first 5 minutes, and then they're gone. And so, like, if you don't know who they are, I don't remember half of them, quite frankly, you're good.
Okay.
It's not some of the Disney Marvel ones. You have to like, oh, right, that's the guy from the TV show that I didn't watch. And there's this guy, you know, and it's like, there's a lot of homework involved in that. But Deadpool really doesn't have much of that at all. It's really it really tries to be like a self-contained movie. It's not trying to set up like three other movies the way the other movies are. Right. It's pretty much like. It's self-contained. So I would recommend it. I would recommend it even to people who think like, yeah, I'm done with Marvel movies. It's really fun.
Good to know. All right. Rob Thomas is my guest. When we come back, I'm going to ask Rob what his favorite summer movie is. And we'll talk a little bit about TV as well. Color television, as I like to call it, Rob. We will be right back with Rob and more Nightlight. This is Pete Schwabba and the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back. We are asking the question, what is your favorite movie tonight? As we compete with our own excellent political coverage. Sherry from Horicon checks in and says, I just rewatched The Best Little Whorehouse in Texas. Such a great movie. I swear to God, Sherry has said that before. Sherry, how often do you watch that movie? I think Sherry has told us that before, Conrad. Like that she's watched that film.
Yeah, I think so.
It is a great movie, though. I've not seen it in years. Sylvester Stallone, I think. Dolly Parton. It's Dolly Parton's birthday, by the way. That's really why I wanted to have Rob Thomas on. Rob Thomas joins us from the Capital Times in Madison. We're talking movies and TV with Rob, as we so often do. He is a Nightlight frequent flyer. Rob, did you have a film this summer you saw that was your favorite or one that stood out to you?
Oh, gosh. That's a good question. I really liked Furiosa. I know a lot of people didn't.
Same.
And I loved, I think Inside Out 2 might have been my favorite. And then part of that, I think, was going in there with somewhat diminished expectations because it was a sequel, you know, and Pixar is doing a lot of sequels these days. But I thought it was really, really strong. And that would probably be my favorite of this summer, I think.
You know, I said the exact same two films early in the show, and they're both sequels, really. I loved Inside Out 2. I watched the first one two nights before I went to see the sequel, 2. And I liked the first one, but I didn't love it. I loved Inside Out 2. And Furiosa, I just thought was great. Again, I think we've talked about this. Not the spectacle that the first one was, Fury Road, but just a really solid, pretty flawless film.
Yeah. Absolutely, yeah, and finding lots of different ways to get into that world, I think, rather than just doing another, you know, wall-to-wall action movie. It's more complicated than that, yeah. So it's been a good summer, I think.
Yeah, I agree. You know what I did? I watched a couple nights ago, I watched Terminator 2. Tell me if you know, and I was talking about this at the beginning of the show, I have like maybe three friends on Facebook over the last month that have said, and pretty much to the word, the same message about the film in a post. I forgot what a great film Terminator 2 is.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, it's just like, are they being paid to put that out there? It was so weird. So, but it did make me think. I was like, oh, yeah, that was a good film. And I liked the first one, too. So I rewatched. I mean, if it wasn't a marketing ploy, it worked. I really do think it was just like, you know, kind of an anomaly that three people said that. But it was clumped together like all within a month. But anyway, I watched Terminator 2 and it was really fun. Like I hadn't seen it in years. Oh, did we lose Rob?
Am I still there?
Oh, there you go, Rob. I thought we lost
Sorry about that.
I don't know when I lost you or what the last thing you heard me ramble about was.
But... I heard you just fine. Yeah,
oh, okay. I don't know how long it's been since you've seen the film, but it really is just a dynamite movie.
Yeah. You were talking about summer movies. Like that's a movie I remember. Like I remember going to, I think it was Des Plaines, Illinois, 1991.
Wow.
It was. I remember that experience of seeing that movie on a huge screen and how great it was. Yeah. So there's some movies like that, especially summer movies, I think, where you remember exactly like where you were when you saw that movie.
That is so funny because I was living in Chicago at the time. I was in the city and I think I saw it at either Webster Place or Harlem and Irving Plaza. So we were in the same vicinity that summer.
That's right.
For that movie.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. So, and then here, I want to ask you about another one. I saw this film called, once in a while, I just roll the dice on a movie that's available to stream on one of the platforms. And I watched Boneyard with Mel Gibson a couple weeks ago. Not great. And I didn't expect it to be, but I was curious. And then I watched the other night on Fandango, at the home movie, former Voodoo, whatever, is a film called Gunner. And it was right up there at the top with all the summer blockbusters. And I'm like, all right. And it was an action film. A guy's two kids get kidnapped. He's an ex-Green Beret. I feel like I've read the logline a gazillion times, but I was just like in one of those moods. I'm like, I'm going to give this a shot. And what a bad movie. Like, I don't know how it got to the top on the banner of this. It's like the third Hemsworth brother. It was like if Owen and Luke Wilson's older brother from Bottle Rocket made a film. That's what this was like. And the wife was weird casting. And I'm like, I've seen this model before because I've written this kind of stuff before for like an executive producer who's looking for something for his wife, a wife vehicle. So they got Hemsworth to be in it. And I don't know that. I'm trying to research it. And then Arnold Schwarzenegger's son, by his housekeeper, Joseph Baena, was also in it. He had like two lines. So I was really curious. But have you heard anything about that film? Or are you familiar with it?
I have heard nothing about that film. Gunner. Okay.
Gunner.
And I did not even know there was a third Hemsworth brother. I mean, yeah.
Yeah, I didn't either. And this was an interesting thing. The Hemsworth family has a connection. I think their uncle is the character that Crocodile Dundee was based on.
Is that true?
That's what I read. And I read it online, okay. Rob, so it's got to be true.
But, okay. Then I buy it. Yeah.
But it was just like one of those things like, oh, so that's how this family got connected to show business, because all three brothers, and this is the brother like who's really not in great shape, but he looked real, you know, but he still was like a Green Beret. And you wouldn't mess with them, I guess. I don't know. It was very interesting.
That's fascinating.
Yeah.
The streaming site Tubi is really good for movies like that, where it's like movies you just never heard of that like sort of seem like a bad photocopy of like a movie you've seen before, but it's like a lot cheaper, a lot dumber. Yeah, but which can have its own enjoyment as well.
Yeah. I agree. It's interesting. When I was on vacation last week, as I mentioned, and we were in Door County, my wife and kids. And I love that time where you have nothing to do and you're all just together. It's not even quality time. It's just quantity time. And you're just hanging out and someone flips on the TV, and this place we were staying at had cable, and we watched The Day After Tomorrow. And I swear to God, Rob, it's like 4 minutes of movie, 9 minutes of commercial.
Yeah.
Seven. And it was terrible. It's a terrible way to watch a film unless you're all just hanging out. And it was actually kind of fun. It was old school, like when the network used to purchase the rights to something and they would broadcast it on network TV. It was so much fun.
I do kind of miss those days. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's like you kind of talk between the commercials and get snacks. And really fun.
That's good.
Can you hang out a little bit through the news? I want to ask you about a couple TV shows. I want to talk a little bit about Phil Donahue, too, who passed away. Sound good?
Absolutely.
All right, fantastic. Yep. Rob Thomas is here. We have more with Rob coming up next after Civic Media's award-winning news coverage. That's now. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabe on the Civic Media Radio Network.